We know there are times where you're just too busy to sort through the mass of information that comes your way. So to make it easier for you to stay informed, subscribe to The Morning Agenda, WITF's news podcast, where the only agenda is you.
Funding for The Spark is provided by Capital Blue Cross, focused on creating a healthier future for our communities through innovations like its Capital Blue Cross Connect Health and Wellness Centers, which provide in-person services and inspire healthy living. Learn more at capitalbluecross.com. The Spark is also supported by UPMC. Choose UPMC for your family's health care needs close to home. Visit upmc.com/centralPA for a complete list of services and locations.
Joseph Kayla and his team at the Dream Exchange has previously stopped by the Spark to give us insight into their new stock exchange they plan to launch. Well, since our last interview, there has been some major motion, and I'm happy to have Joe back on the Spark today to catch us up. So, Joe, there's a lot that has been going on these last couple months. Can you get us up to date on all the exciting things that have been happening with yourself and Dream Exchange?
I will be so glad to. Thank you for having me back.
Yes.
So the first thing that's really exciting is, you know, we're now very deep into the process before the public announcement of the stock exchange's application, but we're in communication now where we pretty much know what our stock exchange will look like. The communication is with the Securities Exchange Commission. It's going very well. Some of it is quite confidential, but I think we're being very favorably received. And that, I think that's a plus point for the Securities Exchange Commission in that they have a tough job, and as do we, but that's going really well. So we're expecting very soon to make more public announcements and actually provide the public with all of the information that they can just go to our website and actually see the guts of the stock exchange in our rules. So that's come along very, very well. The other really huge, I guess, major news is that the Main Street Growth Act, the law that will really allow us to reach the market we're looking to reach, which is very small companies that may be raising as little as $5 million in a public company setting, that has progressed along very nicely. Not only have we had additional meetings in Congress, but we've actually had new co-signers to the bill in the House of Representatives. Congressman Gottheim is a very key supporter. He's actually one of the more informed members of Congress on stock exchanges and the business of stock exchanges. He's on the House Financial Services Committee. And not only did he decide to support the bill, he's actually publicly now a co-signer. And the meetings that we've had recently, I can't really announce until some of the additional co-signers have gone down what they call it going down to the well and signing the bill at the House. There'll be some other co-signers, I think, that will make it very interesting towards what the sponsorship and support of the legislation is. To me, everything we're doing, we will be the eighth stock exchange. That's a relative certainty sometime this year. I don't think there's anything really that would be a barrier to us opening a stock exchange. But the purpose behind our stock exchange is so significantly different than the other exchanges. We really are about creating equality of opportunity in all communities. But our primary focus, obviously, is we're working diligently in the Black community, because there are literally thousands of small companies that will benefit from what we're doing. And the legislation, coupled with our stock exchange, that gives us the chance to really reach a new market to reach the marketplace where people with great imagination and with brilliant ideas that have good companies that need millions of dollars. $5 million is not a small sum of money, but in the setting of stock exchanges where you have companies that are worth trillions of dollars, it's relatively insignificant and small. So without us creating that new form of legislation to give us the opportunity to reach those markets, then we're just another stock exchange, you know. So the purpose behind what we're doing, the entire integrity of our brand is in that marketplace. And so there's not any day that goes by that our attention isn't on designing the larger stock exchange to accommodate the smaller one. So everything we're doing is headed in that direction. We're getting increasingly closer to having all the electronics completed. It's really done. The programming is not what the issue is right now. We're working out how the major stock brokerages will actually connect to the exchange. That's not complex. It's more a matter of the timing, if you will. So it's all coming together like a juggernaut where in the next few months, there'll be some very, very major announcements, the public registration of the exchange, the releasing of all the documents, the moving of the legislation in the House of Representatives and then the Senate, as well as the milestone that we're really focused on is the first opening day bell, which I'm sure will be this year. Once we're in the register, it's really the SEC's process. So it's hard to predict whether it will be 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, but we're fairly confident that it won't be very long. So that's kind of the general update right now as to where we are and where we've come from. We're also expanding our partnerships and, you know, we've created a considerable amount of goodwill with the National Black Chamber of Commerce. Their president, Chuck DeBow, is absolutely just an extraordinary man, very visionary, very forward-thinking. They have 100,000 members, and from which we intend to be partners with them to reach. They're all small companies. And they're all Black-owned companies. So we're in the community is my point. And we have a great partner. He's very forward thinking in that he does see that, you know, the journey may take a little long. So he's not willing to compromise on let's just do it fast and less correctly. So we're really building our relationship with the National Black Chamber quite well. And these are relationships, you know, like any relationship, they take a little time. And it's an interesting thing about a relationship, which is it only gets better when it's a good one. And I can't say enough good things about him and his team. And we're working together quite well right now, which I think the day we open and the days that follow will begin to cultivate all of what is needed by the community. So, you know, that takes a lot of it takes some hours and some labor on both teams' part. So these are the things that go on in the background that no one really sees. When we come to the podcasts and we come to the TV shows. So, it's been since the beginning of the year, we're done with the first quarter of the year. I can't say enough good things about my own team working tirelessly, and we're adding people. We're up to 42 staff now. We'll be adding some more people in the next few months. And, you know, we continue to work with our investment partners who are also extraordinary people. They see a vision for the future that is it kind of takes aligning with the purpose of what we're doing to be part of the team, and to be willing investors. So right now, I would say that my comfort is we are poised perhaps for the greatest year we've ever had. And so that's, I guess, you never get really a Reader's Digest version of an update from me. but that's what I would call the Joe Reader's Digest version of our update. So
why did you all decide to get Congress involved? Like, what was the mindset doing that?
Yeah, so that, great question.
Thank you.
So, you know, there's two laws that really govern how stocks are sold in the country.
Mm-hmm.
One is called the Securities Act of 1933, and the other one is called the Securities Exchange Act of 1934. Those two laws have been around for now, 90 years. and they really form the backbone of how a stock exchange works, and they also form the backbone of what's legal and what's proper when one sells shares of stock in their company. Well, there have been some modifications over 90 years, but one of the key modifications that is required is the structure of stock exchanges needed to change.
Mm.
Because once electronic trading became popular and became really the standard in the industry, and that happened in the late 1990s, it really made stock exchanges and investment banks motivated to take only the very largest companies into the public markets where anyone can invest. So, you know, any person can go buy a share of stock in Apple Computer or Tesla or IBM today. Well, because of the electronics, we really diminished the willingness to help small companies go public.
Mm.
So in order to change those rules, it wasn't something that the Securities Exchange Commission could just decide, oh, we're going to make a new rule. It actually has taken federal law to change and give permission to the Securities Exchange Commission to form a more customized marketplace for small companies.
Mm.
So the congressional involvement really happened because it's taking federal law to do that. We have to amend a 90-year-old law, which was not an easy process, but we are very successfully getting that done. And more importantly, it is recognized that there's not a one-size-fits-all stock marketplace,
yeah,
that there's a new type of stock exchange. And the very reason for congressional attention is because when a company can reach the public markets, it can go public and it can have support from the entire audience of investors throughout the nation. Well, that company grows. It becomes very stable. It expands and stays more of a permanent company fixture into the future.
Hmm.
Now, because it's so stable, it does two things that a congressman wants to be able to say that they helped accomplish. One is they helped small businesses. So in the law, we're going to help small businesses. But the other one, I think the other one that's more uniform is small businesses create jobs.
Mm. Yeah.
And so what we're doing costs no money. The government doesn't have to spend any money to do this. But we're creating a marketplace to help small businesses, which in turn holds the possibility of expanding job creation in our nation, in all communities. And because of our brand and who we are and what we're doing, especially if we help the companies that we intend to help, well, it's job creation in the Black community, which is, you know, something that I think that has a lot of attention in many ways. There's been a myriad of attempts to solve a very long-standing problem, which is how do we create prosperity in all communities in the country? Mm. And the prosperity in this instance comes in two ways. One, by stabilizing a company or building wealth for the company owners, the shareholders, and investors. And two, the ecosystem of that company, especially if it's located in communities that don't have a lot of public companies, is something that builds jobs. And with the jobs at the company, you're not just creating a workforce that has employment and prosperity. The ripple effect, the ecosystem, creates a community. So, for example, about 4 miles from my office is the world headquarters of Allstate Insurance. I think they have about 30,000 employees that work at the world headquarters.
Mm. Wow.
Those are good paying jobs. But if you look at the communities around Allstate, you know, Northbrook, Illinois, as an example, you'll see an ecosystem where, you know, the coffee shops and the dry cleaners and the bakeries and the grocery stores and the, you know, the tailor shops and the veterinarians and the car dealers, they all are now prospering as well because the community has a global public headquarters that is providing jobs that perpetuate other jobs that are not in the company. So there's an ecosystem. It's a symbiotic ecosystem where, well, of course, with the big company, you now have prosperity in other forms of business opportunities that are small businesses that are not public companies. So public company financing provides a gateway to prosperity in an entire segment of a community that without it, you'll see that the community can suffer. And, you know, we've been calling attention to it. You asked why Congress is looking at this so carefully. Well, our brand in particular is very important. In the history of stock exchanges, there have been only two companies that ever made it to the New York Stock Exchange that were minority owned. One of them made it through the American Exchange, so BET and Johnson Products. And that's not 2%, it's just two companies. Mm-hmm. I think there are only 10 minority-owned public companies that exist today.
Wow.
Out of over 6,000.
Wow.
Right. So the Treasury Department has said that 92% of jobs in a company are created after it can go public. So when you don't have to really have a lot of scholarly research to discover that 92% of jobs are created if a company's able to go to the public markets, and there are only 10 minority-owned companies that are in the public markets. Well, perhaps those communities are not developing public companies and therefore not really developing a stable ecosystem of prosperity. So it's a much bigger societal potential solution to create prosperity in a lot of communities that have not had that historically.
Mm.
And it's an interesting discussion because that prosperity is something that would necessarily come from the American investing public in a way that doesn't require one to have a lot of, rich friends. You can come and be in the public markets and people can invest in your company and you don't have to have a Rolodex of the best venture capitalists in the world.
Mm.
You can do this in a more democratized way. That's not only theory, that's as a practical matter, the way things used to be. So before 2000, between, 70 to 90% of all companies that went and received money in the public capital markets were companies that raised $50 million or less. So, in some years it was 600, 700, 800 companies. You know, today we're lucky if we have a dozen of those small companies. So we're restoring an ecosystem for small companies generally, but we're also now in a brand new era where we're bringing the opportunity, a bridge of the opportunity from Main Street to Wall Street, where we're taking people into an environment that they've never really been before and educating and training them to be able to do it. That's our goal. So we can see many, many, many small companies, especially companies from the Black community, that will be in the community. Their headquarters are already there. And it's stabilizing. It's a stabilizing force for the company. And it's not only stabilizing for the company, but we know long term that it's a stabilizing force for the entire community. So to us, it's much more than merely a stock exchange.
Mm-hmm.
The people who work at our company and have signed up for this journey really do see themselves as making history, that we're transforming something that's been a historically touchy point in our communities. Where is the wealth and prosperity that is available to all communities on an equal basis? So that conversation is one in which we're new participants, but I think we're saying truthful things. The mm-hmm. truth is like a very fast moving bullet. When it's true, it just doesn't go away. Can't deny that the numbers and the products and the things that we're talking about exist. Or, more importantly, you can't deny that they don't exist. So we fill a void.
You have been spectacular just laying out all of the updates of what's going on with the Dream Exchange. And that is Joe Sekela from the Dream Exchange. Joe, again, this has been informational and educational. Thank you so much for coming on the Spark and giving us this update. I cannot wait until the next update. We will definitely have you come back. So again, Joe, thank you for joining us on the Spark today.
Thank you. I'm really grateful. Thanks for helping us get the word out.